There's such an anointing with the piano this morning. I don't know what's going on, but it's beautiful. Can I maybe ask that we just put the piano on again? There we go. I just feel there's something God is wanting us to hear, and it was specifically again on that bridge chord, on the bridge chord. So I just want us to stand again. I just want us to be obedient to what God is doing right now. We bring our hearts before you. We honor you this morning for knowing that just to come into your presence, just to be still before you, and at the same time to worship you out loud, that is drawing near, that is coming with expectation, that is sitting at your feet, desiring to hear you, expecting for you to speak to us. And so this morning, thank you that we can first come to honor you, first to come and exalt you, to say you are the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings, the perfect Lamb that was slain in our place, so that we can sing here, so that we can live for you and with you and through you. Lord, we come and just ask that as I speak this morning, Lord, that you will speak to us. I pray for every word that comes from my mouth, Father, to be your heart, Lord, that it will be sharp, and that what must fall away today will just fall away. We just come and submit the service to you and say, Lord, have your way. It's such a blessing to already just make space where you can move freely. And so, Father, we ask that that will continue, that we will stay in that place of obedience and reverence of you, Father. So I just come and speak to every heart this morning and say, may every heart be open. May every ear be open to hear you clearly, to be able to discern who is my Father this morning. May every eye see you clearly. May the veils lift this morning. May your truth minister to us. May your love minister to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much, band. Sure. I can't remember the last time that I actually just wanted to go, let's just leave the sermon. Let's just continue worshiping. Thank you so much, Pietri and the band. Like, I know Pietri has been leading worship here for many Sundays. You will probably know it better than I do, but I really just want to honor you, Pietri, for just the way you really seek the Lord and your obedience. It's such a blessing. And I know it's not easy to do this every Sunday for years and years and years, and you also have a family, but I really felt just while you were worshiping this morning, God saying to you, I honor that. I honor that you have a heart that diligently seeks me. And thank you for your obedience and your boldness this morning. It really, really blessed me, so thank you so much. Okay, so I heard that this month or the last couple of weeks, you are busy with a women's kind of focus, a women's month. So I was asked to specifically speak to the women, which I have to be honest with you, is not something that I've actually done in a sermon before. I've spoken to the ladies at our church in a night that we had, but not in a sermon. So I was very excited that I actually have the opportunity to go, I get to speak to the women, and I can use women examples, and I can use a very female PowerPoint slide, as you can see. So for the men, I'm very sorry if everything is very female this morning, but as you can see from my husband, there's nothing not manly about him. So you can come and chat to him afterwards about sport and surfing and all those kinds of things if it's too much this morning. So he will balance me out. But before I begin, I actually felt just to say that even though my examples and the wording and the photos are very much feminine, I want to say to the men that I feel this is a word for you as well. So if I don't refer to you, and if I don't refer to examples that is applicable to you, if I don't make any rugby references, trust me, you don't want me to in any case. Just do it in your own mind. Just turn it around for you. Because I felt that it's actually not just a word just for the ladies. It's something that God is speaking to us as a church too. Okay, so I just wanted to say that already from the beginning. So the scripture that God has been speaking to me about for a while was this Proverbs 31, the woman of Proverbs 31. Now, usually if we look at the Proverbs 31 woman, we either have a very negative experience about that passage, or we can even call it a poem. It's very poetic in the way that it's written. Or we have a very positive way of looking at it. So I must be honest, I fall in the first one normally, because I look at the Proverbs 31 woman, I go, this is ridiculous. This woman can do everything and anything, and she does it while laughing. and smiling and being kind and all of that. So for a long time in my life, I couldn't get why this one passage in the Bible that really speaks to women is about how much she's doing and how great she's doing it and how well she's doing it. So God really had to come and humble my heart, because actually what I was doing is I was judging this woman, because I was going, you are too perfect. There's no way that you can be this perfect. And a while ago, I spoke a little bit about this in a sermon at our church, and I actually said to the ladies that something that God also showed me that really helped me to understand this better was the fact that it was King Solomon that wrote this. In other words, especially for the women that are married, we know that we don't always feel like that perfect, all together, you have everything together kind of wife. But our husbands have this amazing ability to look at us and go, I see that. I see you like that. I don't see the hair that's sticking up in the morning, or you know, rushing around with the kids, or you know, you're crying because you're emotional or whatever. Like, they have this grace to see beyond that. And if you read Proverbs 31 out of that point of view, it becomes something completely different, because it's a husband saying, this is my wife. This is how amazing she is. Okay, so I want to say to the men, I'm anyway referring to you. This is the power that you actually have, the life that you can speak over your wife, over your daughters, over your friends. The life that you speak over her makes her to see herself in a different way. And that's why it was so powerful, the guy that we saw in that video clip, he did exactly that. He came and he took authority and he spoke truth over woman. And there's something beautiful about a man being able to do that, because it speaks directly to a woman's heart. That need of actually wanting a man to say it, which is why God created it, so that we can go to God as that man and for him to speak it over us. So I just felt I wanted to say that as well. Then I want us to just look at, I'm only going to take a little bit of it because it's very, very long. I can't do a whole sermon just about that, then I'm never going to get to everything else I want to say. But if we look at Proverbs 31, verse 25, 26, it starts with by saying, strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. So now I first want to go back to the strength and dignity. I love the fact that it says that strength and dignity is her clothing, which is why I love the visual of a ballerina. Because if you look at a ballerina, that's exactly the way she moves, the way she dances, the way she acts. Strength. It takes immense strength to be able to do the moves that she's doing and being lifted and twirled, and she makes it look effortless, as if it doesn't take any work. And meanwhile, she's sweating up there, okay? It's hard work. For anyone who's a dancer, you know what I'm talking about, okay? But then it also says dignity. And another word for dignity will actually be poise, or self-worth, or confidence. Okay? So in other words, it's saying that strength, something that is something that you have to work for, something that is not on the outside, and poise, that confidence, that self-worth, is her clothing. All right? Then it looks at, she laughs at the time to come, which speaks of, we don't know what is coming. We don't know what she's seeing. It might be something great that she's seeing that's coming over their path, or it might be something terrible. Does it matter? No. Because all they say is, she laughs at it, which speaks of that hope. Because we can only laugh at whatever is coming towards us if we have faith and have hope in what we cannot yet see. Okay, so it speaks about her heart again. And then it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, all right? And I think there's none of us that can sit here and say, we don't desire to be wise. There's nothing worse when you know you want to say something. I fall in that trap so many times. I want to say something and I don't have the words. Or I'm trying to explain myself and I tell Murray, you know what I'm trying to say? And then he'll say, yes, this is what you're trying to say, and he'll word it perfectly for me. But this is speaking of wisdom, not just babbling, not just something coming out of your mouth. It says that everything that comes out of a mouth is wisdom. And if you think of that person that you look up to who's really, really wise, you always get that sense of, you just want to sit with them. You just want to go and sit and receive from them because everything they say is just so wise. You know what I mean? You know someone like that, even if you don't know them personally, okay? There's something about those people that just make you go, I need to stop and I just need to listen. So that's the kind of woman that she is, that you want to stop and listen. And then it speaks of the teaching of kindness is on her tongue, which says to me, kindness is important to her if it's something that she teaches. Most likely teaching it to her children. But it has to be something important to her first for her to teach it. Okay. So now you can go through the whole of Proverbs 31 and there's all these attributes. This is just the one that stood out for me for today. What she's clothed with, what comes out of her mouth, what does she teach? And then it goes to charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Now I want us to also look at the fact that charm and beauty is a part of us as women. If we just take the words out of that sentence, on its own, it's not necessarily a bad thing. Because charm also means you have a charismatic personality or a personality that draws people in. Almost bubbly or alive or whatever you want to put in there, okay? And the same with beauty. God has blessed us women to look beautiful. Our bodies are supposed to be beautiful, okay? God saw Adam and he was great, but he knew that he needed a woman. And he made her in a way that would be attractive to men. I'm just going to say it, okay? All right. So ladies, embrace the beauty, okay? God made us all completely different, which I love, because otherwise it would be boring, okay? He's a creative God, so he created lots of bodies and lots of different hair and lots of different eyes and noses and mouths because he's a God that creates. Who wants one woman that all look the same? It would be completely boring, okay? So our beauty is something that God has given to us. Having a personality that attracts people is something that God has given us. But what I love is that God knows women so well that he knows to put this in. That yes, I've given you charm, and yes, I've given you beauty, but when it's used in the wrong way, it becomes deceitful. When you only focus on your beauty, it becomes vanity. In other words, if we as women only focus on the fact that, oh, my personality gets attention, it becomes deceiving because it's not real. If we focus on the fact that, okay, my looks get attention, which is something we all fall into a trap of, it becomes vanity. And something that God has given us as a blessing becomes a curse. Right? By the way, you're going to hear a lot of repetitive things because already in the offering and in the video and in the worship, a lot of you already said everything that I was going to preach on this morning. So I'm just going to repeat everything again. Okay. But it's important for us to understand that having charm and having beauty is not a bad thing, but God is giving us a warning. We must steward our personalities. We must steward our beauty. It must not be the all and be all of our existence. And then, the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Isn't this beautiful that it's not the woman who's strong? It's not the woman who's poised. It's not the woman who teaches kindness or is wise or has her beauty intact or has her charm intact. The woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. I love that. Okay. Because that emphasizes for me exactly what God asks of us. All these other things are things that we can work on. We can always work on looking our best. We can always look at being wise. We can always work at teaching kindness and making kindness part of our hearts. But God says what is praiseworthy is the woman who fears the Lord. So we have to first look at what does fearing the Lord mean? Okay, is the men still with me? Are you losing me? Okay. Guys, you can apply this to yourself. I'm sure you can find a rugged example in your mind you can apply this to. Okay. All right, fearing the Lord. If we look at fearing the Lord in the Bible, there's a lot of different contexts. It's important that we understand it. Yes, fear in the way that we know it today also can be something very scary, meaning something that you're afraid of. But in this context, when it says the woman who fears the Lord, it means standing in awe, adoring, worshiping, revering, in trembling. Because guys, if you are standing before the King of Kings, that's why I love that verse that we read as well. Who is the King of Kings? If you are standing before the God of Gods, you're not just going to stand there and go, hey God, this is awesome, okay? You're going to stand in fear and trembling. And I'm sure it's not going to be a fear that makes you frightened or want to run away, but a fear that goes, wow, this is God. The God who is the greatest, that no one can compare to, who is omnipotent, who is fantastic, who is incredible, indescribable, mighty, powerful, beloved, worthy. My King. And that's why we stand in fear and trembling. You can't not tremble in his presence. And that is why it says the woman who fears the Lord, adores the Lord, worships him, wants for him, is praiseworthy. Now, even that video that we just saw, how much of what he said had to do with things that we as women feel insecure about? I actually had to laugh when he was speaking, because every single thing that he was affirming was things that the world are telling us you're not praiseworthy. Because here is the terrible, terrible sin. The world is telling us also what is praiseworthy. The world tells us, if you look at a magazine, this is the praiseworthy woman. Or guy. I can use both, okay? The woman who is praiseworthy is the woman who looks fantastic. Airbrushed top to bottom, okay? No bags under her eyes, okay? Hair that is perfect, it's not frizzy and it's not flat. No zit anyway. The perfect body. If it's not perfect, we can make it to look perfect because that's the ideal. That is what is praiseworthy. It's sick, actually. But something that's even more sad for me is, okay, that can be something that you can put away. You don't have to read that magazine. You don't have to believe it. But then you walk into church, and that voice will start going, sure, okay, look at that girl. Look what she's wearing. Oh, you know, look at that mom. She is ultimate mom. I suck. Okay. She bathed her children, gave them food, and they're all worshiping the Lord in happiness this morning, and I'm just trying to survive, okay? You know, look how successful this woman is. How does she do it? But actually what we're doing is we're saying again, that is what's praiseworthy. The woman who's perfect. The woman who has it all together. Can I tell you something? Every single one of us sitting here don't have it all together. Some of us just know how to fake it very, very well. But that's the honest truth. But we walk into every situation at work, at your work functions, probably the worst. I pray for all of you. Okay. For where we're living right in the city ball, if you're working there as well, oh my goodness. It's like you walk in and depending on what suburb you're living, that's the culture that's telling you what's praiseworthy. So if you're in the city ball, it's the hipster. You know, you need to look like, you know, you have dressed yourself with everything that's fashionable, but don't look like you're trying. And then you need to go to Seapoint and you need to look like your skin has no wrinkle anywhere. Okay. Perfect body up and down. So every place that you live, every place that you work, even the friends that you have will have something that's going to open a door and goes, this is praiseworthy. But here's the scary thing. We can choose to submit to either this voice of the world that says, this is praiseworthy, or to the voice of the Lord that says, this is praiseworthy. We have a choice. And sometimes I wish we didn't have a choice. Sometimes I say to God, why do I have to make a choice? Why can't it be easy? And I just know that I know. Because I know and I never have to think about this. Because God wants us to choose to love him. He wants us to choose to worship him. Who wants to be worshipped by someone just because you told them to worship you? That's not real. It's not authentic. It's not drawing near. It's forcing near. Okay, so we need to understand these two things, because right now, us as women, and the same for the men, whatever it is that men are also hearing, but we are constantly sitting in this battle between submitting to this voice, and which is the voice of the enemy that's constantly battering us and saying, you are not enough, you are not good enough, you're not beautiful enough, you're not worthy enough, you're not pretty enough, you're not a good enough mother or a wife or a Christian. That Christian one is quite big. Can I tell you how many women come to me and say these things? I don't feel good enough. I don't feel like I fit in. I don't think anyone understands. I don't think I'm a good enough Christian because I look around in the church and everyone seems like they have it together except for me. Do you know that everyone says that? I say that. Just this week, I think. Just this week, yes. I preached on Sunday night at our church and it was hectic. It was spiritually, I mean, the whole weekend was, everyone knows what was going on. Saturday, it was the Muslims going on a march, thank you. And Sunday, it was the Jews, and there were lots of things happening over the weekend, and Sunday night spiritually, it was just so, so, so heavy. And I'm talking on love. And literally, I haven't even told anyone else this except for the office in Maui, but I was standing there preaching, and I'm not lying to you. As I'm standing there, every insecurity that I've had in my life and that I've conquered started screaming in my ear while I'm preaching. At one point, I remember looking at my slides and I can't see anything. And I'll go back to the slide and then I can see. Everything. He was literally gunning me. You are not good enough. You're not preaching good enough. You're talking rubbish. You don't know. Why are you even here? Why are you standing here? Literally this loud voice. By the end of the sermon, I was toast. I was walking down. I said to Benny, you just pray for Iraq. If I pray for Iraq now, I'm going to faint. I can't do this right now. But Monday, I felt very sorry for myself because I was angry because I realized actually what I had done was I had chosen to submit to that voice. So even us standing in the front, don't think we have it all together. You must pray for your pastors. Because I had actually chosen to listen to that voice. So by the end of that night when we got home, poor husband Murray, bawling my eyes out because I'm so angry. But actually God knew that I had to understand this. I had to understand I'm facing something spiritual. But we all facing that same spirit. That spirit that comes and says, I'm going to beat you and knock you and push your buttons or come and just kind of pull on you a little bit, not even very obvious, until you submit to me and you say, yes, you're right. And the moment we do that, we are in fear and trembling of the world. You hear what I'm saying? As much as you can be in fear of God, you can be in fear of the world. And by fear, I mean in fear of the fact that the world is saying, this is what is praiseworthy. And if I'm not that, I'm obviously not. So I'm going to try, and I'm going to try, and I'm going to work harder. But you know what happens? We get tired because it's all fleshly. It's a fleshly driven need for praise. Where when we come into God's presence like this morning and you really just expect for Him to speak to you and minister to you, there's a freedom. There's a rest. There's genuine rest. And that's what I felt was the key. That we can read all of that and we can see that she has the strength and the dignity and she laughs and she's got wisdom and she's got kindness and that's great things to have. She's charming and she's beautiful, but she doesn't use it to abuse. But the thing that is praiseworthy is the fact that she chooses to worship only the Lord of Lords and not the world. And for us as women, it is difficult because we have a need deep inside of us to just want to be enough. All of us, and men, if I can help you now, yeah. If your wife comes to you and she's teary and she's like, I don't know what's wrong with me, and she starts picking a fight about something random and you're trying to, what? The worst thing that you can do is to have a fight about what she's fighting about, because it's not about what you're fighting about. And all the men are smiling. Please, that's most of the time not the thing that we're talking about. And most of the time, if you really go and dig, it's this thing. It's this deep, deep wound that I want to feel wanted. I want to feel loved. I want to feel that I'm enough. That's what we're saying. That's actually what we're fighting about. So just go for that. Just start affirming her and blessing her and listen to her. Okay. Patty after that. Right. So that's the problem. It's a legitimate need, but once we point it and direct it towards the world, it actually becomes a curse. And we become tired. Especially for the moms. I want to say, I'm not a mom yet, but I can see from my sisters, it gets them a lot. Especially in the moms groups or when they go to schools and someone else just says something. Oh, I don't know if I should even use examples, but especially for the woman that's already had a baby and someone says something stupid like, oh, are you pregnant? And then it's like, okay, thank you for that. I'm going to go back to the Lord and deal with this. You know, or don't do that with your child. Don't do that. You know, have you read that if you give your child this, then this is how they're going to grow up? And it's, you're sure, you know, maybe you should go read a bit more. Okay. And my heart breaks because unfortunately we live in a world where everyone thinks it's okay to just speak their mind. But our tongue has the power of life and death. So let us be careful. Let us have wisdom come from our mouth. Let us have kindness come from our mouth. And so God is putting us in this place, and while I was praying, I felt this right here is the key. Because something that I love is seeing a woman who is completely confident and completely okay in herself, and she looks completely free. We all know that one person. Someone who doesn't try to put it on. Someone who doesn't, she's not trying. You can see that she's free. Most of the time, the ladies that I've met who are really like that are women that are much older. I remember my grandmother, she was 60-something, I can't remember, and I was quite young. But I remember every time I was around her, there was such a peace about her, such a love, such a surety. And she was someone, if I think of Proverbs 31, that was my grandmother. She really got that. But she loved the Lord. But it was something about her presence. I remember whenever she walked into a room, people would just stop and look at her and speak to her. And I always thought, what is it? But it was this thing. Her heart was towards the Lord, genuinely. Every night, she would sit at his feet and pray. Pray that he would make her more like him. That was her heart's desire. Make me more like you. Make me more like you. Make my children more like you. Every time that she prayed. And so it was something that she carried. And God said to me, that is the key to our freedom. And that's why the title is, The Woman Who Fears the Lord is Free. Not just praiseworthy, because that is it as well. But we are also free. And the reason why we're free is because we're choosing not to submit to this voice, this demonic thing that is telling us that you are not free. You will be a slave to everything that I'm telling you. We're choosing to submit our hearts to the Lord that says, you are mine. And because you are mine, you are free. So my scriptures this morning was also from Galatians. A little bit of a different angle, but it's also from Galatians. When we had our women's evening, God actually really challenged me and said, you're not going to say anything. You're going to just read through Galatians. And it was such a challenge for me because I'm, Lord, I want to say something. I want to, you know, just make a comment or something. God just said to me, no, because I want the woman to actually get this. Now, I'm not going to do that this morning because I can't go through the whole book. But God has been speaking to me about Galatians since the beginning of the year. And I remember reading it the first time in the ESV and I just couldn't get it. It was like all these things were going over my head. And then I started reading the Message translation. And we know that the Message translation is quite easy. It feels like you're just reading a book, okay? I want everyone to actually go this week and read Galatians in the Message translation. And once you've done that, and once you completely get it, then go back to whatever translation that you have. Because I want us spiritually to stand in faith that what Galatians is saying, the book of Galatians, will actually bring a revelation of who God is in our hearts. Because the key to our freedom, the key to being able to go, no, I will not choose to submit to the world, I choose to submit to God, lies in this book. And the funny thing is, it actually is towards men. And the funny thing, it's actually about being a Jew, not being a Jew, and all of that. So the men, you can definitely read this book. But I have to be honest with you, when I read it from the context of being a woman, I was like, God, you understand me. You 100% get me as a woman. You get my insecurities, you get my struggles, but you get how to convict me in love. And after I read it again and again and again, and I'm still reading it, I'm still getting excited. I mean, I was finished this weekend. I went to my room, like, I'm so excited about this because for me, even every time, it blesses me. Because the truth of what God is saying to me wakes me up. It's like, oh my goodness, I need to run in the road and yell this to everyone. It's such good news. Okay, so I can't read all of it. So all I'm going to read is just a couple of verses. Galatians 2 verse 19, where it says, again now, reading it from the perspective of a woman, I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a law woman so that I could be God's woman. How? How does she do this? Christ's life showed me how. Am I standing in your way? And enabled me to do it. So not just this life showing us how, but even showing us the ability how to actually do it. How did she do it? I identified myself completely with him. Not identifying with the world, identifying with God. There it is, right there. I, me as a woman, each of us, you as a man, have been crucified with Christ. My ego, or for the woman, you can even put in there, my insecurities, my comparativeness, my I'm not enough, I'm not working enough, I'm not being enough, all of those things is no longer central. Hallelujah. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress even God. Even God. Because that's what we do. We even think we can impress him by being a good enough Christian. What a curse. What a way to live. It's not. To think that we can even impress him. And then it says, Christ lives in me. He lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Just hold it there. Can you hear that it ultimately boils down to the fact, the knowledge and the revelation, because it cannot just be head knowledge. It's a revelation in the deepest parts of your heart and in your soul that God lives in you and you live through him. And because of that, you don't care about those other voices anymore. You don't care about being good enough anymore. You don't care about wanting and needing and driving and trying because God, remember when we said earlier, the God who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the great I am, he lives in me. If that becomes a revelation and not just something that we know because it says it in the Bible, we cannot go back to that old way of living. We cannot because it's a revelation. All right? Galatians 2 verse 19, is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? If a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. Again, he died so that we do not have to submit ourselves to this voice, to this false praiseworthy spirit, so that we can be free. So that we can be completely free. Answer this question. Does the God who lavishly provides you with with His own presence, His Holy Spirit, working things in your lives you could never do for yourselves? Does He do these things because of your strenuous moral striving? Or because you trust Him to do that, to do them in you? In other words, all these things where we feel, am I good enough? Am I good enough? Am I beautiful enough? Am I comparing? Am I a good enough mother, Christian, wife, daughter, sister? God says to us, and we all know this passage, focus on the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. And for us as women, even those things, those am I enough moments, He will take care of those moments. First seek the kingdom of God. But we need to trust Him. And I love that it actually says that. We need to trust that He is able to do that. Christ redeemed us from that self-defeating cursed life by absorbing it completely unto Himself. He became a curse and at the same time dissolved the curse. We are all able to receive God's life, His Spirit, in and with us by believing. In other words, this thing that you're hearing, this voice that says to you, you are not praiseworthy, God has already defeated it. God has already beaten it. He has taken that curse, that thing that He's accusing you of, He has taken it upon Himself. It is no more. It actually should not have a hold on us anymore. But that means we need to have a revelation of what God's blood means for each of us every single day. Because that voice is not just going to go away. We're still here in the world. He's going to come and try every day. But in that moment, to be able to go, I know that Christ already died for everything that you're accusing me of right now. So I choose to say no. I rebuke you. No, thank you. I choose to worship the Lord and not worship the false voice. Isn't that incredible? Earlier, before you knew God personally, you were enslaved to so-called gods that had nothing of the divine about them. But now that you know the real God, or rather since God knows you, how can you possibly subject yourself again to those things, the things of the world? For that is exactly what you do when you are intimidated into scrupulously observing all the traditions. And in that context, it goes on about the legalistic way they were doing the traditions. But for us, that intimidation, that's what actually is happening. Do you understand it? In the spirit, once you walk in here and you start comparing, and you start going, oh, yeah, sure, I don't know, I'm not good enough, you are being intimidated. And God is saying to us, that is slavery. I've adopted you. You are not a slave. You are free. You are a child. Do not submit to that spirit of slavery. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. And read again, put a slavery on you. We mustn't allow it. It is absolutely clear that God has called you to a free life. And then just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want to do and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. Isn't this beautiful? This is God's heart for each and every one of us, not just women. All of us sitting here. He has set us free to be completely free and not slaves. And even in that freedom, He gives us a choice to worship Him. What a God we serve. And what I love about the last part where it says, use your freedom to serve one another in love. Can I tell you something? The next time you come into a situation and that voice starts telling you, oh, look at this woman. she's definitely looking better today than me. She looks like she's got her kids under control. She looks like she's a better wife or she's a better colleague or whatever you're hearing. Start praying for her. Go serve her. Go love her. Because that is how freedom grows. The devil cannot do anything when you start loving someone else. Because God is love. So if you feel especially intimidated by someone, love them. I actually have a friend, and she testified about this in church before she told me, so that was kind of funny. But she testified just about her walk in friendship and how God had really had to teach her what it means to be a friend. And then she said that there was someone in this church that she actually couldn't stand when she came here. Couldn't stand. This person irritated her so much. Everything that she did irritated her, her laugh. And as she was talking, I was sitting there in the back of my mind going, why do I have a sneaky suspicion that this might be me? And then I thought, no, now you're being all vain and whatever. And then afterwards she came to me, she's like, I just felt I had to tell you it's you. And then I was like, that's awesome. Okay. I irritated you for 6 months. Okay. But then what she testified about, and that's where I got a wake-up call, because there was other people that irritated me. She said that she started praying for me. She started serving me. She started loving me. And I was like, oh, that's where we actually became friends. I remember that. But it convicted me so much because I realized I'm no better. I was sitting in that same church, and there was someone else sitting there that was really irritating me. And why are we irritated? Because of jealousy. Whether it's a good jealousy or a bad jealousy, I don't even know if you can get something like a good jealousy, but that thing inside of you that goes, I just don't like you. I don't know what it is. I don't like you. Okay. You just irritate me. And actually what it is God going, yeah, this is going to irritate you until we deal with this. Because she's pushing a very, very specific button. And so in a double whammy, God dealt with her towards me and I was dealt towards someone else. Freedom. I was set free that day because I knew this is what it means to grow in freedom. I choose to worship the Lord and not to worship this false praiseworthy thing. Make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you have been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself. Don't compare yourself. Ladies, let us stop comparing ourselves. It is a horrible, horrible thing that we do. Each of us must take responsibility for doing the creative best with your own life. And I love how he ends. For my part, I am going to boast about nothing but the cross of our Master Jesus Christ. Because of that cross, I have been crucified in relation to the world, set free from the stifling atmosphere of pleasing others and fitting into that little patterns that they dictate. Can't you see the central issue in all of this? It is not what you and I do. It is what God is doing. That we should be busy with, if I could add something there. And he is creating something totally new, a free life. All who walk by this standard are the true Israel of God, his chosen people. May what our Master Jesus Christ gives freely be deeply and personally yours, my friends. I can't say it better than the word can say it. But go and read it for yourselves. Go and read the whole book. It's incredible. But it boils down to this one thing. If we have that desire to really be free, to walk and live and breathe, women that are free, to love freely, to give freely, we need to understand first and foremost that who we are, this flesh, this person, does actually not exist anymore. Our flesh has been crucified with the living God. And he lives through us, and we live through him. And so that every time that voice comes and tells you, you are not praiseworthy, we remember that God says, the woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And that Galatians says, by doing that, by receiving that revelation, that God has set us free to be free. We are free. We are not slaves. We will not let anyone put that around our neck. We are daughters and sons of the living King. I also want you to hear, I'm saying this prophetically, because this is not something that's just going to happen overnight. We need to speak this over ourselves every day. This morning as I wake up, I choose to worship the Lord. I will not worship the world. I choose to adore Him. I choose to revere Him. I choose to fear Him, to stand in awe and trembling. And you know what's the easiest way to do that? Coming to Him in worship. Seeing and recognizing how big and how great and how amazing He is. That's when you have that revelation every day. This is why it's so important that we come into His presence every day, because our flesh is weak. Even the disciples said it. My spirit wants to do it, but my flesh wants to do something else. And that's why every time we come and sit in the presence of the Lord, we are reminded, I already took this curse upon myself. It is null and void. It is not applied to you. It's a lie. I'm standing between you and this accuser. This is the truth. You are free. Okay, I want everyone to stand with me. And I want us to trust for something today. I don't want us to just respond to God and say, yes, God, I don't have a lot of confidence. I want to feel better about myself. I want us to actually respond to God and go, Lord, I believe who you say you are is who you say you are. I believe what you say about me is who I am. I believe that you've already taken this curse of the world upon yourself. I believe that. I have faith in who you say you are and what you have already done for me. I choose to submit my heart and my spirit to you. So I want everyone to close their eyes. And I want to speak to the woman. And I want to say that this is a very real thing in our life. And it's not going to go away until the day that God comes back. Because all the devil wants is to come and destroy us and wants us to submit and be slaves again. That's his focus every day. And I want us as women to actually start standing up and going, God, I choose to be God's woman. I choose to accept what your blood has already done for me. I choose to believe it, to start living it, and to be free because of it. But I also choose to stand in my authority, the authority that you have given me, and not submit to the voice of slavery. So firstly, I want to ask, if there's anyone here today that you've never actually even had the opportunity to say to God, I want you to be my God. I want you to be the one that I love, the one that I adore. I want this life. I want a life where I am free. I don't want to be a part of the world anymore. I don't want to be the slave anymore. And if you've never had an opportunity to do that, I want you to quickly put up your hand. Because God has an appointment with you as well, for you to be completely free. Hallelujah. With that, I want to ask, if you also want to recommit today, I don't know your stories. I don't know where you've been. I had to come at a day where I had to recommit, where I backslid completely from God. I chose the world 100%. And I was the lost son that had to come running back to my father. If that is you, I want you to hear today that God is saying, I'm already waiting for you. I'm expecting you to come back because I love you. If that is you, I want you to also quickly put up your hand. If there's anyone like that. Amen. And secondly, I feel that there's women here that have a very real struggle inside of them to like other women. There's this constant battle inside of you that you cannot, you just don't like women. It's so much easier to be friends with men. And trust me, I was in this category as well. Because men are easier. They say things as they are. They just shoot straight. There's no pretenses, okay? That's how we experience it. And around women, we feel unsafe. We feel the jealousy. We feel the backstabbing. We feel the knives. And God is saying to us that are experiencing that today, that is also the lie. Because you have sisters that you need to love. Because just the way that you are feeling, just like you are feeling you can't be friends with other women, those women are feeling the same. And God wants to restore our hearts towards one another, to not be envious, to not be jealous, to not have the best intentions for one another. But He wants us to love one another, to actually love one another. And if that is you and you are struggling inside yourself because you're scared of getting hurt, you're scared of getting rejected because you've been here before, and you want to say to God today, today I choose not to listen to this voice anymore. I choose to submit to the one that I love. I choose forgiveness. I choose to love my sister. I want you to put up your hand. If there's anyone like that, thank you for that. If you put it up, just make sure that I've seen you, and you can just put it down again. I want to ask that the lady who recommitted their life and the lady who put up a hand towards forgiveness, that you quickly come to the front to me. Just come straight to me. Ask these ladies to pray with each of you. I actually want you to just go to the side there, and I want you to pray with them and ask them specifically what it is that they came to the front for, and to really stand in faith for that revelation today. So each of you, I'm just going to pray with someone that you can go with them. Okay. And then I spoke to Mary last night, and I just said that I feel that there's a need for us to also say prophetically today that we as women are going to stand up and choose the life of freedom. We're going to choose the life that worships the Lord. We're going to choose the life that stands in awe of the God of gods and not this worldly spirit. So prophetically, I want all the women to quickly come to me, or before you come, and all the men. Mary, just if you want to say, yeah, he wants to say something as well. I want all the men to then come to him.
Cool, yeah. I just felt, just for the guys, I know this sermon was very woman-focused, which is needed. But for the guys, I just felt like there are other things that we struggle with. You know, the world tells us we need to be the most awesome provider. You know, you need to make the most money, and you need to be super successful in everything you do. And, yeah, I just feel like there's certain things that you know, that women struggle with, that we don't struggle with, but there are other things that men really, really struggle with. And I just wanted us to pray together, just all the brothers come to me, and we can pray for one another, specifically about those things that you are really struggling with. You know, because God is actually our provider, and He's the one that can give us everything that we need as men to provide for our families. So if there's certain things that you're struggling with, I really want to pray with you guys this morning. And just trust God that you won't hear those voices anymore. That you'll know that He's got your back in everything that you do. And you won't have to struggle with those things. You won't have to walk around with this weight on your shoulders all the time. But you'll be able to walk up, and you'll be able to walk freely in the things that you do. And in your families as well, leading your families. That you wouldn't feel condemned. You know, also sort of looking at other guys, how much things they've attained or whatever. I really want to trust that the men will be free as well as the women. because God has called all of us into freedom.
So what we're going to do, I want all the men to just come to this side, to my right, your left, all the ladies to come to this side. What I want you'd like to do, Murray and I are just going to do a general prayer at the end. But what I'd like the men and the women to do, pray for one another. The brothers to pray together. 2-2-3-3. Bless your brother. Bless your sister. Expect something for them from God. Let us ask for that word of knowledge. Let us ask for that thing to come and expose the lie so that God can come and reveal himself. And once we're done, and Mary and I are just going to generally pray for the women and the men in general in those groups. Once we're done there, we're done. So when, if you finish praying, I think the men's probably going to be finished before us. Then you can go. So let me just also just finish the service. Father, we thank you for today. We thank you that as we come forward and as we take hands with our sisters and with our brothers, we are saying in the Spirit, we as a church will not submit to that false voice of the world that says what is praiseworthy. But we will submit to the God of gods, the King of kings. We will fear and worship him alone. And as we do it together in unity, thank you that we know that you bless our unity. You bless our agreement. Father, you say that friendship is for those who fear the Lord. And that's what we ask today. We want to be your friends. We want to stand face to face, eye to eye with you. And so, Father, I pray just as we pray together, may it also just be unity that will be blessed in this church. A real sense of unity. In Jesus' name. Amen.